Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
This looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, City of Boston Credit Union, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuaid, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. Presented by Budweiser. Boston, this bus for you.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
During the season, I will tell you, if you were going to start probably the night before or 2 days before, in October, we did it for the first few days, but then after that, it really didn't matter. I didn't have to text them, I didn't have to call them, because they didn't care. They just wanted to show up, help everybody out, and win ball games. And think about it, the New York Yankees, yeah, the sky was falling. You know, we lost game two, and he was panicking here. Everybody was like, whoa, it's over. We scored 16 at Yankee Stadium. Suck on it.
So that's the one everyone's going to remember years from now. Alex Cora at Fenway Park today before the duck boat started rolling through the city of Boston to celebrate the Red Sox World Series championship. Suck on it. 16 runs at Yankee
Suck
Stadium.
On it. That's right. Maze.
You got that, Carmine. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Suck on it. 16-1. In fact, since that point, where did the Red Sox go? They were 1-1. They finished 11-3. They went 10-2 over the last 12 postseason games. They are World Series.
Suck
champions.
On it.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to play you some of the parade sound during the course of the show, but the parade's not the focus, honestly, because if you've listened to this show in the past, you know that really I don't care about parades. I mean, they're events for you, the fan. For me, they do nothing. So to me, I'm interested in the championship. I'm interested in the banner, and I'm interested in what comes next. In what
I love parades.
In what comes next. Which brings us today in the news of the day on the Baseball Reporters. But first, two things. The Baseball Reporters postseason edition is presented by Budweiser. Boston, this Bud's for you. Also, MGM Springfield. So our thanks to those folks for continuing to sponsor the program here as we go to the early days of November. Today's Halloween, two more days, the first and the second. So I don't think we've ever gone that far in the Baseball Reporters, Jimmy, right? November 2nd? No way.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, no way. So, again, thanks to our sponsors. We'll take
and in 2013 after they won the World Series, then we did.
I don't think we did, Jimmy. I think we only did like one day after. So, in any case, they won on the 30th that year, if I remember right. That was a Wednesday. So, I don't think there's no way that we went this deep into the fall doing this program. But this will be it. This week will be it. Tonight, tomorrow, and Friday. And then we'll get back to our regular lives until next spring when I'm sure Murray will be thrilled to be going back to 7 o'clock. But nonetheless, for now, we have plenty to talk about. So again, 617-779-0985. We'll open up the phone lines right away because the news of the day concerns the man who should have been the most valuable player of the 2018 World Series, and that is Dave Price. If you have been following this story, and if you remember, when David Price signed with the Red Sox, he signed a seven-year contract for $217 million, an average of $31 million per season. But after the third year of that deal, this year, Price had an opt-out in his contract that would allow him to become a free agent if he wanted to again. He had to decide on whether to exercise that opt-out by midnight tonight. So, Jimmy Stewart, our producer, I'm sure we have the cut. But David Price showed up today for the parade, for the rally, on the duck boats. He was met by reporters who asked him the obvious question, are you going to opt out?
I'm opting in. I'm not going anywhere. This is, I want to win here. And we did that this year, and I want to do it again.
Okay, so plain and simple. No, I'm not opting out. I'm opting in. I'm staying. Now, for the Red Sox purposes, The final 4 years are going to cost him $127 million, I think it is. He'll make $31 million next year and $32 over the last three. $32 per over the last three. But for salary or luxury tax purposes, I almost said salary cap purposes. For luxury tax purposes, the number remains what it is, which is $31 million. Okay, so David Price will count $31 million against the Red Sox payroll over the coming years. Yesterday, we posted a poll on Twitter asking, do you want him back or do you not want him back? 55% of you said you wanted him to opt in, which is what Price did today. But 45% of you said you wanted him out, which I think, it, in retrospect, looking at it, is a high number given the recency of the World Series. We were talking earlier today about the quote-unquote recency bias. Price was awesome in the postseason, particularly the last start in the LCS and the two games in the World Series, plus the relief appearance in between. He was absolutely awesome, and all kidding aside, should have been the most valuable player of the World Series. David Price recorded more outs than anybody else on the Red Sox staff during the World Series, and he pitched the second game on 3 days of rest. He should have been the MVP. And yet nearly half of you still wanted him out. Okay, still wanted him out, which deep down, I think the Red Sox also would have been okay with. In fact, they might have preferred it when you start considering the payroll issues that they are going to have going forward. And so here is the question today. Is there really any way going forward that the Red Sox can keep David Price at $31 million a year over the next 4 years? And also re-sign Chris Sale. Because I don't think there is. I can't imagine that there is. I can't imagine that the Red Sox will now go to Chris Sale and sign him to a deal averaging somewhere around $30 million a year when he's going to be 30 years old soon and they're already paying a 33-year-old starter $31 million a year for the next four. It just, I can't see them doing that. Now, if you want to tell me they have the money to do it, let me just tell you a couple of things up front. First of all, in terms of sheer dollars, sheer cash, of course the Red Sox have the money. The Red Sox could field a $300 million team if they wanted. No problem. No questions asked. They print it. Trust me. Nesson makes a fortune, and the team makes a fortune. That aside, even if the team didn't make great cash flow on a year-to-year basis, and maybe there's ways to hide that, the value of the team has more than tripled since John Henry bought the team 15 years ago. More than tripled. So he has made a fortune. He and his partners have made a fortune on the Red Sox. If they wanted to pay $300 million, they could. And I'm not asking them to because I think that gets unrealistic. Hell, it's already borderline unrealistic. Criticize the Henry Group for all you want. But don't ever criticize them for not putting money into the team. They have put a ton of money into the team. Nonetheless, there comes a point where you look at it and say, it's just not prudent. I mean, you're already paying one starter $31 million. You're going to pay another one the same amount who's 30 years old? I don't think they're going to pay both. So what are the alternatives? What are the options? Trade Price? Maybe eat some of the money? Or just let Sale pitch out next year and then let him go via free agency? Which right now feels to me like the way they're going to go. So again, I don't have any inside info. I'm just telling you that Chris Sale is a... has a questionable shoulder at the moment, and he's going to make $15 million next year. The Red Sox picked up his option for 2019. But typically, a guy like Sale would warrant a discussion about a contract extension now. Now, going into the final year of his deal, you would go to him and say, we want to talk. And fact is that I'm not sure the Red Sox can do it right now. I'm not sure they want to do it right now. And remember, John Lester was not signed to an extension by the time his last season in Boston started. Was that 2014, Jimmy, or 2015, Lester's last year here? Would have been 2014, I think, right? 2015.
2014, because they won the championship, and then the next year they had the fire sale because they were sucking.
Okay, so, you know, to me, they had a... it's absolutely right, actually, because then Price came 2 years later. And so... you know, if Sale doesn't have an extension before the start of next year, it's hard to think he's going to be back is the point. And Sale and Price are linked. And I know that many of you are going to come up with creative accounting solutions during the course of this hour. So let me just tell you right now, I've done the math. The Red Sox payroll next year right now is at $215 million. They have a little money to spend. This year, they finished somewhere between 235 and 240, I think. Probably closer to 240. So that gives you $25 million to play with for now, and you don't have Eovaldi, Pierce, a closer, or Joe Kelly signed. None of those guys are signed. So as you start looking forward, and I know that a lot of you still want to celebrate, but the reality is that the offseason starts Monday. In fact, really, it has already started. Because David Price exercised his option, you're going to get more news on some of those guys tonight. Clayton Kershaw, for example, has to decide by tonight. So all that's going to start happening now. And the Red Sox have some really hard decisions coming. I hate to break it to you. It's going to be hard to keep this team together, if you ask me. Okay, 617-779-0985. We're going to kick it off with my buddy Frank, who's in Upton. What do you got, Frank?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I had a thought on Chris Sale. What about putting him in the bullpen as the closer for next year to see how he does doing that, kind of like what Eckersley did?
Okay, so Frank, if you do that, how do you replace him at the front of the rotation?
You could sign Eovaldi. I think you should sign Eovaldi for maybe a 2-year contract if you can get him with an option. You try to put Sale in the bullpen. He might like that. Maybe that would be easier on his arm.
Okay, so Frank, here's what I'll tell you. If I want Chris Sale, I want him as a starter. I can find cheaper alternatives to close than Chris Sale. So to me, the value in Sale comes in keeping him in the rotation. But again, as a fan, you tell me, would you rather have Price right now or Sale? Like, I think that's actually an interesting way to look at it, because I don't think it's as clear-cut as everyone would think. Instinctively, you would say Sale. Except he does have that shoulder issue to contend with now. And if you want to keep him, you're going to have to move Price and sign Sale. And do you really want to do that? Do you want to sign another 30-year-old starter for $30-plus million? Because the part of the thing here is that Price may not be as bad an alternative as a lot of people want to think. Again, that poll yesterday, 55% said they wanted Price to opt in, but 45% said they wanted him to go. And honestly, right now, I'm not sure what the best outcome is, because I don't trust that shoulder of Chris Sale either. Either way, the Red Sox are in a pickle. So maybe you have a solution. We'll play more sound for you from the parade, and we'll get into that topic as well as other offseason issues when we come back.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Before the playoffs even started, the pitching coach came up to us and showed us all the headlines saying how bad our bullpen was. We're the worst bullpen in all the playoffs. Thank you guys. Thank you guys for saying that. You know, that challenged us as a group, honestly. But, no, it was very, very exciting. And, you know, something that we wanted to do and as best as we can and show up every single day ready to pitch.
So Joe Kelly saying that pitching coach Dana Lavangi went to them and showed them all types of billboard material, a bulletin board material, to motivate them in the postseason. Kelly says he wants to thank the critics, to which I would say, no problem.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hopefully he went to my YouTube page and found the Wheel of Gutless Bums and played it for him, too. It's obviously motivated him.
Yeah, so there you go, Murray. There is our license to bring it back in 2019. The Wheel of Gutless Bums, I can state with certainty now, will be back by demand of Joe Kelly and the Red Sox. They have asked us to bring it back, so they apparently feel like it motivated them, so we're happy to play our role again next year. Now, that said, look, Kelly was awesome. Okay, Kelly was awesome in the postseason. And I would tell you that it was nice to see many of these guys, Kelly included, reach their potential. That's really what this postseason was about, to me. This Red Sox team, these guys had great potential, all of them. Betts, Bogarts, you go right down the line. Kelly with the great arm. You know, you can list a bunch of guys on this team that you would say incredibly have underachieved collectively as members of the Red Sox over the last couple of years. This year, they did not. Now, honestly, they may have even overachieved as a group. And by that, I don't mean that they won the World Series and they had no right winning it. I mean the 108 wins. Nobody expects that. Ever. And then to go 10-3 or 11-3 in the postseason, 119 wins overall, extraordinary, right? Really, really extraordinary. But one of the other reasons we play Kelly for you there, Kelly is one of your free agents. So again, I want to say this once, and I know it won't work because people jump in at different times when they're driving home, particularly on Halloween. Okay? I want to try to say this once. Kelly, Evaldi, who's the other one? There's another one, that Pierce. Those three guys to me are certainly debatable as to whether or not you bring back. In addition, Pomeranz, Kimbrell, those guys are all up. So they are already off the books. None of those guys are on your payroll for 2019. They're not. Your payroll at the moment is $215 million. And a year from now, Porcello, Bogarts, Sale. I mean, those are three big ones right off the top. JD Martinez, potentially, if he opts out. Those are all free agents maybe a year from now. I don't think there's any way the Red Sox can pay all these guys. So you tell me, who do you want to keep and how? We'll kick it off with Max, who's in a truck. Max, what do you got?
Hey, what's up, Tony? So I think Chris Sale's shoulder, he just didn't look right in the last two starts against L.A. or the first start that he had against L.A.
He wasn't right, and Max.
He's hurt, Tony, and I'm not going to pay him top dollar at $30 million when you just rambled off all those guys. You know what I mean? So I think with Price opting in, I know Jim Murray, you wanted him to opt out, but he showed me a lot in the World Series. He came out, pitched lights out. At this point, we're kind of stuck with him, and if they want to trade him, they can, but I just would rather...
Hey, Max. Max, quickly, if Sale were healthy, right now, who would you rather have, Sale or Price?
I'd rather have Sale.
Okay, look, and I think we all feel that way. So the majority of us do. I don't know about all of us. A lot of people sort of bought in on Price's postseason, and maybe rightfully so. But I would tell you that I think most people would lean the way you lean. But it's a variable now you can't overlook. So I would love to tell you that Sale's going to be okay. Maybe the Red Sox know he's going to be okay. And you know what? The more that you think about it, even if he is okay, do you think John Henry is going to give another $30 million a year contract to a pitcher who's 30 years old? Because that's basically what you're looking at. Price is going to be 34 next August. Okay, he just turned 33 now. So he will pitch most of next year at 33. Sale's age, I'd have to look up. I think Sale is 29 at the moment, but I'll double check it. Okay? But regardless, you're looking at a long deal there. Sale's going to get a long contract, and he will be 30 next spring. So he's going to pitch next year at age 30. Then he's a free agent. Are the Red Sox really going to extend and give him the kind of deal that he's going to command on the open market? I mean, even if he's healthy, I'm not sure they can do it. And keep Betts and keep Bogarts. And you tell me, do you want him to keep Bradley? I don't know. How about Porcello? You want him because he's up at the end of next year too. And remember, the worst part of this whole thing, they don't have anybody coming in their minor league system. Nobody. There are no cheap alternatives down there to replace the high-end talent you have. Their prospects are gone. Nate's in Orlando, Florida. Go ahead, Nate.
Yeah, I just wanted to address Murray's stupid-ass take earlier about Mookie Betts.
Go ahead. You can address it with Murray directly. Go.
Okay, Murray. So I just want to give you these numbers from a Red Sox legend. In his first 20 games, he batted 211, 273, 310 with a 583 OPS. You want to know who that player is in his first 20 games?
It's David Ortiz.
Yes, it's Big Poppy, who happens to be the greatest hitter and postseason hitter in our team history. Give Mookie Betts time. He's only 26. If you wanted to kiss that guy who recommended that we trade Mookie Betts and sign that asshat Bryce Harper, who's also batting 211 in the postseason, just to let you know. You'd rather do that? Are you kidding me?
No, it was more about getting Jacob deGrom in return. That's the deal I would do. Betts is an excellent player. He's the MVP. He's my favorite player on the team, believe it or not, Nate. But it's more than a trend now how his postseason has been for three straight years and five series. He hasn't been very good at the plate.
Yeah, so I let him go because I think that again,
it's statistical fact.
Great year, all that. So I think Mookie Betts is a problem.
Oh, okay, so that was a caller earlier in the day. I got mixed up there. Sorry. Yeah, there was a caller earlier in the day that says Mookie Betts is a problem. Remember, one of the issues with Mookie Betts going forward here, is that the Red Sox have tried to sign Betts, and they haven't been able to.
Right. How many times has he taken them to arbitration?
Betts has rejected them at every turn. Okay, he's rejected them at every turn. And it feels like Betts wants to go to free agency, which won't happen for a few years, I think. They've got him for at least two more. It might even be three. I'd have to look it up. So they can go year to year with Mookie. They're going to pay for it on a year-to-year basis, but that's okay. I mean, the Red Sox will live with that a million times over. His salary next year is going to go to somewhere around $20 million. It'll double. He's making $10.5 million now, which I think is the highest award ever for someone of his service time, if I remember that right from the preseason. Mookie's going to cost a fortune. Bogaerts is going to cost over $20 million. Porcello is not going down if you want to keep him, and maybe you let him walk. And maybe that's the play on Eovaldi. You sign him and you let Porcello go. But Eovaldi doesn't have the track record of durability that Porcello does. I mean, they are, to keep this thing together is going to be a challenge. Quickly, Matt Natick on the playoff format in baseball. Go ahead, Matt.
Tony, maybe because I'm old, but I don't know. It seems to me that when the Dodgers won that first game in California.
Yeah, game three. What is it, Matt? Go ahead.
Right. The whole series turned on its head and people were so concerned, and the Red Sox just seemed to have lost the home field and advantage. It seems to me that the 2-3-2 format destroys the home field advantage.
Yeah, so Matt, I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to cut you off because baseball's always had the 2-3-2. Always. Always, 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 always. When the Red Sox came back home against the Cincinnati Reds in 1975, the night Carlton Fisk hit the home run, they were down 3-2 in games. Fisk hit one out and they forced a game seven. Okay, and the Red Sox that year, and back then, you know what they used to do? They used to alternate. One year the American League at home field, the next year was the National League. So you can bitch about the format all you want. The fact is it used to be even more arbitrary, I'd say even more. It was way more arbitrary than it is now. Now at least they base it on best record. And in baseball, home field is not that big a deal. It's just not. So look at the Red Sox. What did they go on the road this postseason? 7-1? 7-1 on the road this postseason. So home field in baseball is not that big a deal. If you play well, you pitch well, and you execute, you can win wherever you are. In 2007, the Red Sox were down in the LCS 3-1 with Game 5 on the road. Josh Beckett shoved it down the throats of the Cleveland Indians. It's all about mental toughness and good pitching and being able to execute. That's what it's about. The home road thing in baseball is overrated. Okay? Way overrated.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters. 98.5.
Most amazing baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't want you to leave here before you talk to me about how do you feel about Dan Alavangi, because the response that he got from the entire, you know, staff.
You were there. You were in that meeting.
Yeah, but I want you to
pitch. I'm taking us under the hood of everything.
No, yeah, we're searching for a pitching coach. And we had this meeting, we talked about it. We were, you know, he was a bullpen coach. And we were looking for a pitching coach and interviewing guys and guys going to other places, and all of a sudden they go, "How about Dana?" Yeah. You did.
You and Jason.
How about Dana? I'm like, "Oh, that's out of the box, you know? Like, yeah." I made two phone calls. I called Chris, I called David. I say, "Hey, how about Dana?" And they were like, "Oh, I would have told you that 2 weeks ago, you know? Like, he's that good. He's great for us. He's been in the organization for I don't know how many years. Bullpen catcher, bullpen coach, advanced scout."
Wow.
And what he did with the pitching staff, amazing.
I wanted to play that last night. We never got to it. Obviously, it was a short program last night, and in the aftermath of the championship, we didn't have a show on Monday. It wasn't a lot of time to get to it. That is Alex Cora on the MLB Network following the Game 5 win over the Dodgers that clinched the World Series, and the discussion about Dana Lavangi, the pitching coach. And I thought this was interesting because, honestly, I didn't know it. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, you're better at this than I am. I miss stuff now all the time. Okay, I'm just not as on top of it as I used to be. So there was this, they, you heard Corey there telling the story about how they hired Lavangie. And the Red Sox didn't have a pitching coach. And they were sitting in a meeting, and Pedro and Jason Varitek came up with the name of Dana Lavangie. And you heard Cora say, well, you know, that's outside the box. I'm willing to listen. So he called Sale, and he called Price, and asked them, what do you think of Lavangie? And they said, well, we could have told you that 2 weeks ago. Absolutely, you should hire Dana Lavangie. Jimmy, is this new or was that out there?
I remember this from the offseason.
Okay, so I didn't remember this from the offseason. And, you know, to me, this is like, I don't know, I just think it's a cool story that Pedro and Varitek are talking about a guy who was a bullpen catcher. And then ultimately the bullpen coach when they were on the team. And for those of you that don't know Lavangie, I know Dana, he was around there when I was. And they all loved him. They thought he had baseball acumen that was off the charts. Okay, he picked up things and saw things that most guys didn't see, whether it was hitting, pitching, no matter what it was, his just aptitude was off the charts. And so he's now your pitching coach, and I don't know, is it a coincidence? All of a sudden, all these guys who want to make sacrifices, they all bought in. You heard Joe Kelly say earlier on there that our pitching coach came to us with clippings from the media telling us we were the worst bullpen in the postseason. All of a sudden, they're all, you know, guns blazing, throwing great in the playoffs.
I hope they played Murray's Wheel of Gutless Bums for him.
Yeah, it's good. We're going to keep that for next year, too, because Joe Murray said that they were motivated by that.
Easy to find.
So now that he's given us license, we're going to keep it.
Right on YouTube. Joe Kelly, the way he said Joe Murray.
Oh, I did? Yeah. So I meant Joe Murray. I'm Joe Kelly.
We're all burnt out, man.
In any case, let's get back to the phones. The bigger topic tonight is how do the Red Sox keep all of these players? That is really the big question. Apparently, they're having some sort of team dinner or team party tonight after the parade. And I just wonder how many of these guys are going to be here in a year or even two. Because they really do have a dilemma when it comes to keeping this roster together. It is not an easy task. And David Price is in. David Price has picked up his option for the next 4 years, or has opted in, I should say. He didn't pick up an option. He had the right to opt out. He elected not to. He is staying at basically $31 million a year for the next 4 years. And so the question now becomes, how many more guys can the Red Sox have afford with Price on the roster at $31 million at age 33? And can they afford to pay Sale now? And when I say afford, they have the dollars. But realistically, can they have two 30-year-old pitchers on their staff at $30 million plus per season? And then beyond that, Mookie Betts is going to get $30 million a year when he is free agency. They've tried to sign him. He won't do it. Bogaerts is up at the end of next year. He's going to get over 20. And Porcello's up at the end of next year. Meanwhile, they don't have a closer. Kelly's a free agent. Evaldi's a free agent. And Steve Pierce, if you want him, he's a free agent too. And the payroll already for next year is going to be around $215 million. Let's go to Billy in Bridgewater. Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, Tony, I think if we want to keep all these guys, we have to downgrade in certain positions. And I think Porcello is probably one of the prime candidates of eligible for that kind of downgrade. And I also want to say thank you for treating me like an adult. Bye.
No problem. So, look, Porcello might be one of the guys that gets squeezed out. See, but another part of the problem here, when you ask yourself if this championship is worth it, and at the end of the day, we know they all are. All championships are worth it. Who wouldn't? Although 2013, I wonder about, because that one really hurt. I mean, that one sent you into a spin for 2 years where you finished last because you started to buy in and think you could compete and win that way. And the reality is you couldn't. And only at the end of 2016, when your farm system came up, did you start to turn the corner again. End of 2015, not 2016. Okay, so they still finished last in 2015, but they played better the last 2 months. And then 16 and 17, they won the division. But you look at the Red Sox now, and you say these young guys have now matured, so now you have to pay them. And the scary part of this, the real scary part of this, if you start to examine the Red Sox on paper, is that they don't have any players coming through that minor league system that are going to have any sort of real impact here in the short term. At least we don't think so. And they certainly don't have any pitching, which is a bigger problem. Because Price will be here, and in a lot of ways that's a good thing. But you now may not be able to pay Sale as a result, and who's going to replace him? Because I don't think you have it. Nate's in Manchester. Go ahead, Nate.
Well, listen, nobody can sit there and say that, you know, they had a long-term plan going into this, because Dombrowski this is his chance. This was his chance to win with his core, with his team that he put together. And you know, you're not going to be able to keep three guys on the starting pitching making $80 million. It's just it's completely unrealistic. So you're going to see one of those starting pitchers getting squeezed out. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody gets traded next year if the Red Sox have a down year, which I don't see them having a down year, but on the off chance they're the outside looking in at the end of the in September, I wouldn't be surprised if you see maybe Sale go in a trade or Purcello go in a trade.
Okay, so
that space up.
Yeah, Nate, let me stop you here for a second and don't go anywhere. Okay.
Yep.
Next year, for the most part, next year they're okay. They're okay next year. Now, they still have some other things they have to fill. You'd like to keep Eovaldi. Maybe you want to keep Pierce. I don't know. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. Some of you want to keep Joe Kelly. They can, you know, they can probably pay those guys if they want to and have a payroll similar to what they had this year. Okay, they'd be close. They probably have to go a little higher, but there's a little more room for them to go up there. That's all fine. The question is, then what? Because you would have Bogarts coming up. You would have Porcello coming up. You would have Sale coming up. J.D. Martinez may be able to opt out. So you can get one more year out of this. You can. But the idea... So let me ask you this question right now. Would you, to alleviate your longer-term concerns, would you trade David Price right now?
Yes, because I like David Price as a pitcher. I felt like he's shown a little bit of sack this October, but long-term, age has it's a problem with the age and the money, and that's it.
Okay, so look, this is one of the things, and I don't know if the Red Sox would trade Price right now. Maybe they can, maybe they can't. They'd probably have to eat some of the money to do it. If they ate, again, Price is due $127 million over the next 4 years. So, but for luxury tax purposes, he comes in at $31 million per. But let's say the Red Sox can get that number down to 20 for a team. So that they would eat basically 10 or 11 million bucks a year to move Price. And they could send him to the Cardinals, for example. Let's say the St. Louis Cardinals were interested in Price when he was a free agent the last time, only to see him come to Boston. Let's say they would be willing to take him on, but you have to eat $10 million a year. It might be worth it for the Red Sox to do that kind of deal. They would create another $20 million that they can spend on their roster. Okay, they would save the $20 million that they're paying Price. You know, again, they need a portion of the salary. But that $20 million might essentially get you most of Bogarts. I think Bogarts is going to get more than $20 million if you want to keep him. He's going to get more than $20 million a year when he hits the market, or something like it. And so it might take moving Price or moving Porcello. And Porcello's not going to get you as much in return right now, by the way, because on top of it, he's only signed for a year. At least with Price, he's signed for 4 years. So a team that says, if David Price were on the market right now, would we give him 4 years and $80 million? Hell yeah. That kind of team you could move Price to. And if I'm the Red Sox, that's one of the things I would consider this offseason. If you want to keep Sale and if his shoulder's okay. If his shoulder is not okay, and again, the Red Sox have more information there than we do. But if Sale's shoulder is deemed to be some sort of longer-term problem, then what the Red Sox have to do is keep Price and let Sale go at the end of next year. Either way, the moral of the story today is it feels really unlikely that you're going to be able to keep Sale and Price beyond next season. And again, it all comes down to Sale's health. But if you want him, you might have to move Price now. It's really stunning. But when you look at how the Red Sox got here, the young players they have, the fact that they've been unable to sign any of them to contract extensions, and that they have old pitching and no player development system right now, or at least no one near enough to help them. When you weigh all that out, they're in a little bit of a bind, and they may have to make a big trade this offseason to alleviate some of their problems going forward.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.